Morning Worship Service.
Good morning, church. Yes. Yes, all is well. A few announcements before we get started. Marcy was our greeter this morning. Jamie is going to be our liturgist. Our radio sponsors today are Todd, Cindy, and Lois Pieper in memory of Brian Patterson. We have our ice cream social today after church. We were going to be in the park, but it's very hot and very muggy, so we're going to just go downstairs. But please stay, please come have ice cream. It will be fun. Let's see. Not this coming week, but the week after, we will continue our Faith in Turbulent Times small group discussions. So that's Tuesday the 12th and Wednesday the 13th. It's the same discussion on two different nights because we have two small groups. So if you're interested, please let me know. Today we are going to hear from the Gospel of Luke, the Lord's Prayer. So today our theme is prayer. We'll also hear from Isaiah, on what God asks of us, which is not a lot of religious ritual so much as justice and doing good. All right. Now let's turn our hearts and our minds to worship as we hear our first UCC welcome statement. Come to me, Jesus said, all who are weary. Sauk City is an open and affirming congregation. This is what everyone is welcome means to us. Whoever you are, whatever your story, however you identify, whomever you love, we would value your friendship and welcome you into our community. Every part of you is precious to God, and all of who you are is welcome at First UCC. So come to worship and be nourished by bread and cup at Jesus' table. Stay to serve Sauk City and beyond. We look forward to getting acquainted. Let's take a few moments of silence to enter into this holy time and space. There must be a time when we cease speaking to be fully present to ourselves. A time when we exclude clamor by listening to nothing. A time when we forego plans as if we had no plans at all. Time when we abandon conceits and tap into deep wisdom. Time to stop striving and find peace within.
Please stand. One who is holy altogether. One who is holy, make us like new. Show us your way. Teach us to pray with our hearts and our hands. Give us the word today that we need to know you. Give us hope today to be a beacon in a world full of lost and confused. Give us a joy today to make your name known. Give us peace today to respond with courage, fortitude, and conviction. Give us love today to love as you have loved us. Amen.
Now please join us in singing. Our hymn is Gathered Here, number 742. We'll sing through three times. Now please join me in our prayer of unburdening. God, who reigns in glory and meets us in need, we seek your peace and restoration. We drown in a system of debt rather than generosity and common good. May our obligations not burden us, and may we not burden others when comparison is abundantly available. We struggle not to encroach on our neighbor's territory when boundaries are arbitrary and limiting rather than purposeful and expansive. Help us turn from sin and temptation as well as guilt and shame when we struggle to live fully in your kingdom. And hear this assurance of God's grace. Offspring of the living God, live in the grace of the kingdom. Receive a vision of restored creation, abundance, compassion, generosity, inclusion. Live in your full humanity as image bearers of the holy, for which we all say, now we have a time for passing the peace. As usual, you can stay in your seats if you'd like. Some people are huggers, some aren't, and that's okay. So let us pass the peace with each other. Now you can sit. Thank you. No such thing as too much peace. And now we have our kids' time. Do any kids want to come up? It's okay. Yeah. Yay.
Hi. I'm so glad to see you. Good morning. Will you come sit with me? You can sit wherever you want. We're going to have ice cream after church. You knew that, huh? Yeah, good. I also love ice cream. It's hard not to love ice cream. Today in church, we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer. That's one we say every single week. So you've heard it. It's where we say, Father, Mother, who is in heaven, hallowed is your name. Your will be done. Does it sound familiar?
No.
That's okay. That's all right.
I don't have a very good memory.
That's okay. You're not the only one. I lose my keys a couple times a day. But it's a prayer that Jesus taught. Because Jesus was really good at praying. And that's okay. I'll tell you. Jesus was really good at praying. And his friends said, how do you do that? How do you do that so well? Sometimes you want to know how somebody else does something when they're better at it than you are. I'm not good at some things.
There is something that I want to do. It's like, I can't even do it.
It's okay. There are a bunch of things I can't do, like
that,
sing.
Like that mm-hmm. is like music in Spanish. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't even do it.
It's okay. So Jesus said to talk to God, like God knows us and loves us, and be loving, like God is our parent, and that we can ask for some things we want and also say thank you for things we have. And that's how we pray, just with lots of love. So sometimes you pray at home. It's okay, either way. We're learning. All of us are still learning about prayer, no matter how big we are or how little we are.
I just hear prayers in songs.
Mm-hmm. Singing is praying too, for sure. That's a good way of praying. All right, let's pray now. Holy God, bless all these kids. Bless these children.
Okay, I never do that.
Bless the children in our lives, in our hearts, in our families. Help them to grow in wisdom and faith, in love of you, love of their neighbors, love of themselves. May they know that they are precious. May they be able to pray and develop relationship with creation. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you want to go back and sit with your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for coming up.
Our first reading for this morning comes out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 1, and verses 10 through 20. Here we read, "The vision of Isaiah, son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God. You people of Gomorrah, what to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incest is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocation I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you, even though you make many prayers. I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove your evil deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. If your sins are like scarlet, they will become like snow. If they are red like crimson, they'll become like wool. If you're willing and obedient, and you shall eat the good of the land, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Jamie. Our gospel reading this morning is from Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13, the Lord's Prayer. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, loan me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked and my children were with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him what he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Our readings today open up all sorts of questions about prayer. What is prayer? What does it do? How does it work? Does it work? Does God intervene directly in human affairs? Does that intervention or not depend on our asking? Can prayer change God? You may have heard this one. "Dear God, so far today I'm doing all right. I have not gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I have not whined, yelled, or cursed. I haven't eaten any sweets. However, in a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed, and I will need a lot more help after that. Amen." We know that Jesus prays all the time in Scripture. Sometimes he sneaks off for some time alone in order to pray. Mostly we don't know quite what his prayer life looks like. We hear today he was praying in a certain place. And the disciples ask, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Now, Jesus' disciples were Jewish. They were people of faith who grew up with Jewish law and tradition, and there are so many set prayers in Jewish tradition. Prayers for morning, prayers for before bath, before different meals, prayers for everything you can imagine. We have one set prayer. They had so many. They prayed constantly. And then they met Jesus, and they saw him pray. And they saw who he was, and they saw his relationship with God. And they knew there's a different quality to this, a different closeness. They saw these remarkable effects. And so they asked him, how do we do that? Mother Teresa said, I used to think that prayer changed things, but now I know prayer doesn't change things. Prayer changes us. And we change things. And that's the purpose of prayer. We're not trying to convince an old white guy up in the sky to change his mind about something. Prayer transforms us and our relationship with the divine, with God. God is the presence and the power and the light and the life and the love, the source of all creation. And prayer helps us to align ourselves with that presence. Brother David Sendell Ross wrote, prayer is not sending an order and expecting it to be fulfilled. Prayer is turning yourself to the life of the world, to love, to the force that moves the universe, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And I love that. We are attuning ourselves to the force of the universe. And that's how Jesus prayed. And the disciples said, show us how to pray like that. They're not asking for what words to say. They knew lots of prayers. They're asking, how do we become so close to God as you are? If you notice, they said, teach us like John taught his disciples. John the Baptist was Jesus' rabbi, and he was not a traditional rabbi. He was a wild man out in the desert, and for him, prayer wasn't so much communicating with God. He didn't sit out there and say, please send me, and it was breathing God, communing with God, living as one with God. And that's what Jesus had. So he taught them this prayer. And he talked about the power of prayer. Our parent who is in heaven, he said, Abba, Dad, Daddy, Papa. It's a shift in thinking about God. So many conceptions of God as someone who is distant, way up in the sky. Pagans thought of gods sometimes coming to earth, but mostly doing terrible things when they got here. This is thinking about God as love, as the very best parent. Hallowed be your name. Recognizing the holiness, the sacredness of who God is. Your kingdom come. Oppressive political realities were present for Jesus, were present to the people he spoke to. His audience was mostly poor peasants who suffered greatly under Herod and under Caesar. So when Jesus speaks of the kingdom of God, it has so many dimensions. Marcus Borg, the great biblical scholar, said, "The kingdom of God is what earth would look like if we really believed God was king and these rulers were not." It's about God's justice versus systems of empire and domination and injustice. And it's about this time, not some distant theoretical utopian future. The kingdom of God here as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we know probably some people who say that anything that happens here is God's will, and I'm not going to argue that right now. I think that we often look for God's will in the bad things that happen because we want everything to make sense, and tragedy seems senseless, but when Jesus prays for God's will, he's praying for metanoia, for turning around, reorienting ourselves, our hearts, our behavior to God. And it recognizes our responsibility in the fact that God's will is not currently done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus' meaning here is concrete. He was addressing people who might not have anything to eat. Day laborers in Palestine whose pay at the end of the working day was maybe enough to feed their families for that day. Enough bread. The kingdom is about everyone having bread. We often hear in our culture these prayers and think of bread as spiritual reality, as a spiritual thing. Allegorize bread to be all of our needs. But Jesus was asking us to identify with the poor, with the needy, for whom is there going to be anything to eat today? Was a reality. It is spiritual. It is also concrete and practical. Forgive us our trespasses or our debts or our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us in the way that we forgive others, requiring forgiveness from us. I've also heard this is, forgive us so we can forgive others, because God's forgiveness, the mercy that we know we receive, it allows us to extend it to others. We can't hold on to our hurts and our pains. We don't have to let people give them more to us, pile them on us. But holding them only harms us. And it was a time when debt was another issue. There were debtors' prisons. There were daughters taken off to slavery because of debts. There were people becoming indentured servants because of debt. So forgive us our debts as we forgive debt. That too, it is spiritual. It is also very, very concrete. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This one always seems a little strange. It is translated correctly. Lead us not into temptation is in the Greek. And it really means not that God is leading us into temptation. The book of James says, don't let anyone who is tempted say, I'm tempted by God, because God doesn't tempt us with terrible things. We understand it as, give us the strength to resist all those things that call to us. Give us the strength to focus on what truly matters. Help us to free ourselves when we find ourselves in the grip of what is contrary to God's love. Protect us from evil, from all kinds of evil. And Jesus ended the prayer right here. We add a little doxology. The power and the glory are yours now and forever. He tells a few stories about prayer that are a little bit odd. I don't have time to go into that. But he emphasizes persistence. He emphasizes trust. Keep praying. Keep talking to God. And sometimes that means saying, God, I am not so sure about you. God, I am angry. I am sad. I don't think I like many of your followers. Why did this happen? God, I look around and I don't see you. The Psalms are all about that kind of honesty. God, would you strike down that person I don't like, please? God, when are you going to show up? And it's okay to take all of that to God. God can handle it. Annie Lamott wrote a wonderful little book about prayer. It is called Help, Thanks, Wow. Help, Thanks, Wow. She says those three words, that's the basis of all prayer. Help, sometimes we need strength, sometimes just to get through something hard. Sometimes we want to tell God what to do. Come on, God, help me. I don't know how much I personally believe in the power of intercessory prayer. I mean, we've seen things change, but we've all prayed for lots of things that haven't happened. People pass. Families go on. Floods happen. Wars happen. And prayer helps us to get through. There are prayers of thanks. Thank you. Thank you for coffee. Thank you for community. Thank you for family. Thank you for the people that show up. Thank you for sunshine. Thank you for ice cream. Thank you for people around the world who are doing good. And the wows. Coffee again. People who show up. Puppies, the sunset. Because life is hard, and if we pay attention only to the help, we miss out. Medieval mystic Julian of Norwich said, prayer fastens the soul to God. Prayer is our connection. This prayer tells us is spiritual. It is practical. It is a prayer of community. Give us our daily bread, not just me, mine. It is a prayer of compassion and justice. It is a radical prayer. It calls for us to join in the building of God's kingdom, not just in heaven, but here. A reign of love and justice and healing and mercy. Tuning yourself to the life of the world, to love, to the force that moves the universe, the sun, the moon, and the stars. That is prayer. I don't know how it works. I know it does something. I know it is the core of who we are as people who walk with God. May we pray with our lives, with our hearts, with our mouths, with our hands. Amen. Our hymn is another of the new words to an old tune. It's actually the tune that we used last week, Talus Canon, number 100. 100? 100? Yeah. Life giver, lover of us all. Now it is time to share prayers with God who knows and who loves us in all things. First we pray, creating God, we pray for all who are affected by natural disasters and issues of climate change that impact so many lives. We pray that the people living through these harms can find comfort and hope. We pray that they can find help, practical aid, and we pray that we may be generous in sharing and hopeful and mindful in how our actions have an impact on the environment. Lord, hear our prayers. And are there other prayers to share this morning?
I have a joy to share that my son Isaac and his girlfriend Dipta have crossed the Pacific Ocean and are now in Portland, Oregon, and will be returning on Tuesday. So very excited to see them again.
Yay.
I'm very happy to see so many new faces and faces who haven't been here for a while today. Welcome to Carol and to Lois and to Emily and to Nancy.
I just wanted to say a few words for the humid weather. But it's beautiful growing, and so crops and everything look really nice. And so, and also they keep the prayers of the people of Texas, you know, as they too try to put their lives back together. And to remember the Gaza, you know, Israel, hope anyway that, you know, they can put an end to that war.
And thank you to Marcy for the beautiful flowers on the altar.
There are no more prayers to share aloud. Let's take a few moments of silence for the prayers we hold in our hearts. God knows the details. Holy God, we pray for Gaza, for Ukraine, for Texas, all places that are harmed by natural or man-made disasters. We pray for farmers and farm workers. We continue to pray for the Bannon family and for Carol and Rod. We pray for Gary and his surgery this week. And we are grateful. We are grateful that Isaac is on his way home. We are grateful that Carol and Lois and Emily are here with us, and Nancy, Marley's family. We are grateful for flowers. We are grateful for friendship. We are grateful for this community. Holy God, hear all these prayers and the prayers that we hold in our hearts. Amen. We have the Lord's Prayer, and I messed this up a little bit. It'll go on. I was intending to show the original Greek, because, oh, that was my fault. It wasn't Scott's. It was my fault. And then what it would look like translated into Aramaic. So what we have in Scripture, Jesus spoke in Aramaic, which is related to Hebrew, and then it was written down some 50 years later in Greek. So we don't have Jesus' actual words. And then it was translated into lots of different languages. So someone recently translated it from the Greek into what it may have looked like in Hebrew, and that is what this version is. And I know I said I was going to take a break from other versions, but surprise! Everybody's fine. So let us say this one together. O birther, father, mother of the cosmos, focus your light within us. Make it useful. Create your reign of unity now through our fiery hearts and willing hands. Help us love beyond our ideals and sprout acts of compassion for all creatures. Animate the earth within us. We then feel the wisdom underneath supporting all. Untangle the knots within so that we can mend our hearts, build ties to each other. Don't let us surface things delude us, but free us from what holds us back. Out of you, the astonishing fire, returning light and sound to the cosmos. Amen. The version that most of us are most familiar with is the one from the King James Bible, but there are all kinds of other translations and more precise and more poetic translations, as you know. So What Jesus wanted was the feeling, the closeness to God of this prayer. And God invites us to share from our so many blessings to build this community, this church of love, welcome, compassion, good questions, radical hospitality. Let us pray. Our God in glory, may the good gifts we bring of time, talent, and treasure be used and magnified for the benefit of your beloved. Thank you, Holy One, for enabling us to join in your kingdom come on earth. Amen. You may sit. On his last night, Jesus chose to sit with his disciples, his friends, and he sat and talked with them all night. If you want to follow me, love as I love. This is the commandment. We heard in our prayer from reading from Isaiah, God grows weary of prayers without actions, of all the incense and the ritual that don't have love. So as we eat today at Jesus' table, may we remember that love, to love others as he loves us. He took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it, saying, "This is my body. It is broken for you. Eat and remember." He took a cup of wine. He poured the wine and said, "This is my blood. It is poured out for you. Drink and remember me." Remember this table, remember these commandments, remember this way of praying that fastens your souls to God. Remember
to build God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, remember. Holy Spirit, we ask you to pour out all your gifts into this meal that we share today. May it feed us with all that we need to be your people, to create your kingdom, to love as you would have us love. In God's name we pray. Amen. Bread of life broken for you, Steve. The bread of life broken for you, Tim. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere.
Max FM. 99.7.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.